Today's reading comes from Romans chapter 5, verses 12 through 19, and it's titled Adam and Christ. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death came through sin, and so death spread to all because all have sinned. Sin was indeed in the world before the law, but sin is not reckoned when there is no law. Yet death exercised dominion from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sins were not like the transgression of Adam, who is a type of the one who is to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died through the one man's trespass, much more surely have the grace of God and the free gift in the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for the many. And the free gift is not like the effect of the one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brings justification. If, because of the one man's trespass, death exercised dominion through that one, much more surely will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness exercise dominion in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, just as one man's trespass led to condemnation for all, so one man's act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all. For just as by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. There ends the reading.
I'm getting a little crazy. I don't know if it's a function of being 43, but I'm starting to do a little, I'm starting to do some crazy stuff. And I'm going to do something I've never done before. It's a little nuts. I never thought I was ever going to do it, but I am going to do it. I am getting a tattoo.
Yes! Yes!
What? It's like you won something on The Price is Right. I am going to get a tattoo. I never thought I'd ever do it. I just thought that I'm never going to do this, right? And there's a reason. Like when I was younger, right, my dad told me, right, he said, never get a tattoo. And so I'm like, okay, I won't get a tattoo, right? And I just kind of kept that going for a long time. And then about, I don't know, 4 or 5 months ago, we were in a conversation with the family, and we asked, well, what would you get if you ended up getting a tattoo? What design? And so I told him. And my dad said, you know, I was thinking about getting the same kind of thing when I was your age. I'm like, what happened to getting, you know, no tattoos? What happened to that? Right? So I'm like, oh, that's kind of interesting. Get a tattoo that, you know, honors my parents to a degree, you know, it's kind of the same thing. My girls overheard the conversation, and they said, we think you should get a tattoo. I'm like, you just want to get one later. I know what you're up to. Like, I know it, right? But they say, you know, we think it'd be really cool, right? And I'm like, yeah, whatever. Yeah, I'm never going to get a tattoo, right? Turns out the girls used my wife's Facebook account to sell stuff out of their rooms. Carol was selling some of her stuff for my birthday. We're all sitting at the table, and they said, well, your gift this year is a tattoo. We raised the money. I'm like, how do you say no to that, right? And then finally, in a private conversation with Carol, you know, I mentioned the tattoo, and she just says, you know, honey, I think it would be really hot. And I was like, somebody get me a tattoo right now. I don't care what it is. Right here. I don't know what really hot will get me, but I'm pretty sure I've never experienced it before, right? Really hot. Last thing I wanted to get was a tattoo, right? But now I'm sitting there thinking, there's my family, my wife is in favor, my kids wanted me to get it, they sacrificed for it. I know what I'm going to get. It's going to represent faith and family, right? I'm going to do it. But before I did it, or before I was going to make that down payment, right, to get it done and get it scheduled, I got online and I did something I probably shouldn't have done. I typed in on Google, tattoo mistakes. Right? Now, if you want to laugh for hours, go in to a search engine, tattoo mistakes, right? My favorite tattoo mistake was a person who had a tattoo that ran from this shoulder down across to the other shoulder, and it said, no ragrets. No ragrets. It was supposed to be no regrets. They misspelled it. No ragrets. Right? Tell me that's not the most ironic thing you have ever, right? Because you had to look at it and be like, what? You could actually buy them fake now online as well. And just so you know, after I end up getting it, I'm going to beat them to the punchline. I'm not getting a tattoo because Scott Carman has one. I know he's going to say it. I'm just going to defend myself now, right? The truth of the matter is, there isn't a single person who doesn't have regrets. That's the truth. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And there are some people who try to trick themselves into thinking that they haven't done wrong. There are people who try to trick themselves that there is no moral law, but it doesn't work. You see, because if that worked, a person could look back in their lives at things that they feel badly about and then simply change their mind about them. They could look back and say, well, I feel badly about this, but there's no real right and wrong, so whatever. But that's not what happens. What really happens is that somebody does something wrong, somebody sins, they have this regret, and that regret doesn't just haunt them, it hunts them. It comes after them and plagues them and preys on them. It is as if the sin is tattooed to their hearts and minds, especially when that sin deeply hurts people around you. So good people try to make it right. Try to make it right. They work towards that fancy word, atonement, which simply means to make some kind of reparation for a wrong injury, an adequate repayment for the cost of the sin. It could just be apologizing. If you've had a rough day at work and you come home and you yell at your kids for some small thing, it could be that you just come back to them and say, look, I'm really sorry that I got angry. I shouldn't have done that. I really do love you. Please forgive me. I'll try not to do that again. It could work. For others like Zacchaeus, it means a little bit more. Most of you remember the story, which is why I'm referencing it, even though it's not in our scripture today. You remember him as the tax collector who ripped off his own people, took their money, and supported a foreign national religion with it. Took a bunch of extra for himself, and after meeting with Jesus for a short time, he says, look, here I now give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. And Jesus responds to him, today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. What Zacchaeus didn't say is, well, I'm really sorry. Won't you forgive me? And then just let it go. There was atonement. He tried to work to make things right by the people that he had hurt. And make no mistake, it wasn't for their own good, for the good of those people that he ripped off. It wasn't just for them. It was for his own sake as well. So that inside, he could right himself and no longer be hunted by his conscience. Oftentimes, a clear conscience is the fruit of the hard work of atonement, the act of trying to make right what you've done wrong, which brings us to a critical impasse. What about times that you cannot atone for your sins? What about times when you cannot atone for your sins? There was a soldier who I was talking to, who none of you know, who served honorably. And in a firefight, he admitted to me that he killed a civilian. Just doing his job. And what else is going to happen when you've got coward terrorists hiding behind their own populace, right? It's going to happen. The civilian was a boy. And inside that haunted and hunted him, how does he atone? How do you atone for deeply hurting somebody you love who has since walked out of your life and has nothing to do with you? How do you atone for the wrongdoing you did as a kid when you didn't know much better? You may have sensed something was wrong, but you didn't quite understand it. See, this question is incredibly important to ask, because the truth of the matter is, those sins still haunt. Those sins still haunt. Our passage today comes from Romans. It is wordy. Beforehand, Beth pulled me aside right over here, and she said, "Where do I pause?" This sentence just keeps going, right? Paul's good for that every now and then. I'm going to simplify it. Have you ever heard the argument, man, if Eve, and it always starts with Eve, right? Yeah, you've heard this argument already. If Eve just wouldn't have eaten the fruit, it's all Eve's fault, because if Eve wouldn't have eaten the fruit, then Adam, obviously, wouldn't have eaten the fruit. And then, you know, everything wouldn't be a mess right now. Right? And of course, if Eve were here to defend herself, she'd probably say, you know, if Adam would just quit watching the game and get up and eat, get his own dang fruit. No, that's ridiculous, of course. But what Paul is saying is, look, Adam sinned, and we are like him. We all have a propensity to sin. We are like him. It may be different types of sin. It's still sin nonetheless. But even greater than Adam's sin is the grace of Jesus Christ. For if by the trespass of one man, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in the life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Sin enters by one man, carried by every man, and yet the grace of Jesus Christ is greater and more abundant. No matter how great the sin, even if you cannot come close to making it right or atone for yourself, Jesus can cover it. And it's one thing for me to say it, it's another thing for us to accept it. Because I know what some of you are thinking right now. You're thinking, Travis, you haven't seen this thing I've done. You haven't seen my dark side. You've seen the best of what I've got, because that's what I present. And if you would have seen that dark side, if you would see the shadow that follows me everywhere I go, you wouldn't say that. You don't know what I've done, what I'm capable of. These are things I can't make right. And I would say to you, you're absolutely right. You can't make them right. No more than I can make them right. Right, they are debts that we cannot pay. But one thing that I can never say, one thing that I can never, ever bring myself to, is that there is some sin greater than the value of the life of Jesus Christ. There is no way where you can take a look at the Son of God and say, that right there cannot cover my sin. It's as if you are saying that your sin is so great that you could cause God to deny his own Son. I believe that our ability to accept the forgiveness that Jesus offers is directly proportional to the value that we place on his life. I'm going to say that one more time. I believe that our ability to accept the forgiveness that Jesus offers us is directly proportional to the value that we place on his life. How deep is his love? How glorious his truth? How powerful was he? Because he was the Son of God. So how great was his payment to cover your debt? The answer is, great enough. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we all have regrets and we all have sins. Some of them are buried deep, where we hope that we don't have to revisit them often, but we know they're there. And there are times when they come back and they haunt us, derail our thoughts, make us less than what we should be, Lord. Help us to know that when we ask you for forgiveness, to atone for the wrongdoing of our lives, that the value of your Son's life covers that debt. His life is the only thing that can cover that debt, and that's why you sent him. Help us to recognize that, to know it to be true, and to live free because of it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.